This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Are you guys ready to fucking podcast?
Yes! Yes.
And then we just politely sit in the chairs.
Yeah.
It feels... It's a rip, I guess.
Now we're really in community. I'm like, okay, what do you guys want from our...
Wait, what's the thing you were doing? What's it called? A box step?
Yeah.
Yes, a box step.
Who recognized my box step? My fucking on-point, practiced, rehearsed. I've been renting out a studio for that.
Yeah.
Just for that move over and over again.
Box step. You should do some box step tutorials.
I've been doing size. You know that?
No.
It's nothing.
Should I?
It's just a workout, dance workout.
Oh, wait, Psy, like the Gangnam Style guy?
I think it's short for exercise, but they're making it sound real cool. They're like, you don't want to exercise, you want to size.
Is it hosted by Satchcron?
Yeah. Hey, callback. All right. Well, what's
here
up?
We
did stand up, and now we're here.
Yes.
We haven't done it in that format before, so yeah. I didn't feel good about my stand-up comedy.
I mean, I thought you were great.
I thought you were wonderful.
No, I'm not asking for compliments. I'm not asking for compliments. I'm just saying sometimes in stand-up, when you get up, your brain's like, let me do all new things that are barely tested. That'll impress them. And you're like, no, it won't, because they don't know your other shit, you dumb fuck. And it's also, no, it's funny doing it. We're saying for people listening to the show, because they're like, yeah, we know you fucked someone in Paris, okay? We've heard about it. Anyway, I'm just...
Also, the guy, I don't know if everyone heard, but like the guy she fucked in Paris called us while we were recording once, and we like prank talked to him.
Is that what we did? No. I thought we just talked to him, but I guess we pranked.
It was kind of like pranky.
No, he kind of pranked us a little bit, actually.
Yeah, he called me up and gave me shit for talking about meeting other guys while I was on my trip over there.
Yeah, it's like...
It's pretty great.
I always say, I told Sean, I said, the secret to a good marriage is not listening to each other's podcasts.
Oh right? Absolutely. Isn't that what your guys' moms always said?
You know?
Yeah. Ooh, that would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, yes. So we are here. We're staying in an Airbnb with very thin walls.
Yeah. Wait, what's the rule in it? You can't put your phone while it's charging on the floor at night, because if you receive a text, the apartment downstairs will hear it. Is that a thing here?
No, I think that's just like an Airbnb thing.
Okay.
I gotta admit, I booked the Airbnbs and I think I fucked up. Usually I would be very meticulous about that, because isn't that like the fun thing of traveling? You're like, let me look at every picture of these people's weird room that I'm going to stay in for some reason. Not that much cheaper than a hotel, but I've decided to make this choice. And I usually be more meticulous, but we've been so fucking busy lately. And I kind of was like, yeah, these look good. And we were like, yeah, let's try to ball out a little bit, you know, like treat ourselves, because we don't do this too much. And so I booked that, and I was like, oh, that's fine. You know, it's an Airbnb, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that we're staying in Manhattan soon. And I booked a studio by accident.
You did?
Whoa.
Are you fucking serious?
No, that's new information. You're telling us that on the fucking podcast?
Like, are you doing that because we can't get that mad at you?
Yes.
God damn it, Barbara.
God damn
it.
You got the couch or whatever, the footstool.
Wow. I already am sleeping on the footstool.
I know you do. You are.
There are three beds.
Yeah.
That's
your penance. There,
I am sleeping on the tiny weird couch in the other place.
And but, I appreciate that.
Yeah. But there's three beds in this studio.
Are so, they? Is it a three-person bunk bed? Is it like three against
one wall? We'll be fine.
You guys are wild out here. Honestly, is that just what happens here? One time I went to someone's apartment in New York and they made it into a 2-bedroom with a sheet. Yeah. Is that common? That's common? Thing.
That's what happens.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sorry in advance. I was like, I told my friend Corey, who I was hanging out with earlier, I was like, they don't know this, but I re-looked at the Airbnb and I realized it's a studio. Because you ever like look at the pictures again and you're like, wait, that's the same corner. Like,
yeah. They will do that. They'll like take shelf and take 15 pictures of it. And you're like, oh, that's a cute place.
That's a cute shelf.
And really, it's just like a cute shelf. Yeah. Yeah.
I love the books I'm definitely not going to read on vacation.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry.
You know what? I think that we're even now. Because remember that time that I accidentally didn't tell you about that creepy artist retreat in Topanga and I sent you there?
Yes, that is true. I thought I was going to die and I left there. It was right when, what's that? Fucking
True Detective
was coming out.
Yes.
And it was like True Detective season one as fuck.
Yeah.
There was like weird straw dolls everywhere. And I was like, where am I? And it was, again, yeah, just paper walls and nothing. So I left in the middle of the night and came back to LA.
Yeah.
It scared me too much.
There weren't even like this Airbnb in Topanga's like the artsy fartsy part of LA. Like it's like in 6 feet. Did you guys watch 6 feet Under? Okay, yeah, it's like where the ant lives, you know, it's like out there, and it was like this weird area where like you slept, they were actually dog houses, I think, that we were sleeping in, right? They were like made out of plywood.
Might as well have been, sure. Again, not relatable, I don't think any of this is.
Yeah.
What was, what? I am lost.
It was just like an artist commune that's also an Airbnb, but you slept in a dog house with a sleeping bag, but I smoke a lot of pot, so I can handle anything, you know, like...
the only other people on the property were just like a man in the distance always.
Yeah. That's I remember him.
That was all. You would just walk outside and see a man far away in a silhouette and you're like, great, I feel good.
Was that included in the ad? And they were like, it sleeps too. You are not one of them.
It was like one of those pictures from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, kind of
just
in person.
Out.
Yeah, I figured, for me, I feel like he was always topless and had a ponytail. Was that right?
No, I didn't want to fuck the silhouette at all.
With a red ribbon, topless with a red ribbon around his neck.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were like, I have to come in your neckline or else. Is that the story?
That's how it works. It's the cum seals it.
Yeah. That's what I thought. It's like cement,
it's
huh?
Mm-hmm.
You guys saving it to make your houses someday?
You guys know the end times are coming. Start storing your cum for cement in the future.
Or food?
Oh.
Hey! I'm resourceful.
I would straight up rather die in the apocalypse.
I wonder, now that we're talking about it, though, like how long you could stay alive. On cum alone.
On one's cum?
Yeah, on one's cum.
Well, okay.
If you only had one source.
Here's the question.
This is the worst desert island question I've ever heard in my life. If you could have come from one source. Source is the worst word, too.
I know. I did that to creep you guys
out. Oh, man. Because source doesn't necessarily imply that it's a dick. Because source could be like a frozen yogurt machine.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just have to trust that the cum is from one source beyond that.
Now, I'm going to say frozen yogurt style cum way better.
I agree.
I'm thinking like almost a Dole Whip-esque situation.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I'm probably not going to eat Dole Whip for a while now. But I agreed. Cum, I think, would not... It probably... Room temp is probably the worst temperature for cum.
And we're talking about men's cum, right?
Hot might be better, though.
Well, I don't know. We have... All right, anyway, I was just making sure.
Go on.
No, I mean, it would be a lot harder to bottle ours up, but wouldn't we have to...
Wait, what do you mean ours?
Well, Tess...
Women don't have actual physical cum.
Yeah, we like...
We do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, my God.
Are you talking
happening?
About, like, wetness?
That's
what
a part...
is going on?
There's, like...
what do you mean?
There's female ejaculate is a thing.
Squirt?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, but not just squirting.
But then also just, like,
why
know?
Do you think it gets wetter when you cum? That's cum.
Yeah, what do you think
we
that
cum.
Is? That's cum.
I guess it's just always wet. Okay.
No.
This is never mind. Yeah. Uh-huh. Totally. Mailer. Uh-huh.
This has been biology.
I think all of us are wondering if we're wrong because now I'm like, I'm gaslighting my own cum.
Do you think if male cum was in a froyo and then you ate it and you got a headache, you'd be like, oh God, why did I fuck him? Like, that's the headache that you would get. I was trying to pull us out, guys.
Thank you. That was really definitely a great time to pull out.
I'm just imagining all of us in our little Airbnb staring up at the ceiling later. Secret, Googling in the secret, Chrome window.
I'm going to wait to do it till we're in the studio so we have to look at each other while we're happening.
Well, I think we're going to get an anatomy lesson.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, okay.
Well,
so we saw your brother.
Yeah, that's the transition I wanted in this podcast.
Yep. I was trying
in my life.
That was the best thing any of us could come up with.
You know,
I was going to say something about Sizzler. I didn't have anything.
It's kind of like how when I'm nervous laughing, I think of parking tickets. I was trying to like.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, so Brandy's about to be an aunt. She's about to come into Aunt Land.
Yeah.
Give it up.
Like any day.
Any day.
My sister-in-law is so fucking pregnant. Shout out to Jordan. You might be having a baby right now.
Hi, Jordan.
Maybe this is what, because she's past her due date right now, and like maybe this is what'll kick her in if we talk about it.
Psychically.
She puts the headphones over.
Yeah, because it listens to all our cum talk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And really the baby's like, get me out of there, or whatever.
Have you noticed any ant-like behavior surfacing in yourself?
Oh, I forget. I lose my phone constantly. Mm. That feels, ant-like.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll be like, oh, my God. I'll like use that voice. Everyone like get into like, that register. That's like the ant register. Yeah.
I'm too busy coming all over the place. I don't know.
I didn't say it went anywhere. Okay, all right.
You'll get there. You'll get there.
This is Tess's one woman show.
What?
Figuring out the cum in me? Have you done a one woman show that we don't know about?
No.
Okay.
Right. No, surprisingly.
She surprised herself with that answer.
Absolutely. I'm just as surprised as everyone else. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not for lack of thinking about it. Yeah. There's just, I have too many one woman shows in me.
Yeah.
I don't know how to choose one.
Well, what if you cloned yourself, like Multiplicity style, and just did them all?
Oh my God, if that's what you did in the world.
Yeah.
All your last thing one woman shows.
I'm touring like 7 one woman shows the same time. I got all my clones out there. Just
and
really.
Like, no one asked for this, God.
Well,
what's
that's
happening?
What all one woman shows should be called, is no one asked for this, God.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that's so unsettling always about a one person show is the amount of talking to invisible people off stage. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
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 No. It's not that I won't ever do it, but.
It's a lot of like.
Father.
Yeah. A lot of that.
Father. Father. Her. Who am I? Did I just do it? I just did a one-man show.
We're workshopping, you guys.
You guys are just here for Barbara's debut. Nobody asked for this.
I'll never forget. I used to work at a theater, and my favorite one-woman show of all time, title. I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. But we had a show there.
Title. Didn't see it. Oh, God. I can't wait for this. Wait,
you guys, this is
I can't wait.
So offensive
excited.
On every level, and
oh,
not
no.
just because it's a one-woman show. It was a white chick in a Native American costume.
No.
And the title was Battle of Wounded Me.
No!
That's it.
Burn the witch.
Oh, no.
And every time I think about one woman shows, I just think about that girl in her pigtails.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That should be sent out in like a what not to do, white lady memo. Just let's all learn from this. We should be forced to watch that as a penance.
I think that's fair.
I'm going to never feel bad about anything I've done ever again.
At least you didn't.
That's fucking horrible.
Ooh. Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, at least we know she's going to be dehydrated. She's going to die in the desert. That bitch dies in the desert.
She's probably on a CW show, let's be honest.
Yeah. She's a tertiary character on Riverdale now. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Ooh, tertiary. Good. Love tertiary. That word.
Thank you. 1490 on my SATs, no big deal.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
You guys were all so impressed. Oh, my God.
I don't have I ever talked about this before on the podcast, about the guy that asked me while I was fucking him what my SAT score was?
What?
I'm not kidding.
What?
Yes.
This is what I love about Tess Barker. I swear to God, earlier we were doing like a radio interview and you pulled out that you've been weakened at Bernie'd before.
Yeah, you didn't know about that.
And we were like, we've never heard this.
No.
That's what I mean. Too many one-woman shows.
All right. Yeah.
So I guess we should explain the weekend at Bernie.
That's
no, absolutely not.
Okay. So yeah, I was fucking this guy, and like while he was getting like,
wait, this is not the weekend at Bernie.
Let's go. SATs first, SATs and then weekend at Bernie's.
Okay. I was on the SAT thing. So he's like in my studio, and he's looking at me all intense. It's the first time I'm hooking up with him.
Yeah.
And like at the point where a normal person would be like, you have nice tits or something. He just looked me dead in the eye. I was like, what did you get on the SATs?
Oh my God. No.
I know. And the most disturbing part of that story is I kept texting him for like 7 months. But wow.
I mean, he's smart. I get it. I think what you
do. What a weird fetish, right? Like who?
Yeah, that's a fetish. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You
it's like Lolita meets I don't know what. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's yeah, like that's
Lolita
a,
with
definitely.
Glasses or some shit.
Yeah. And like, what if I had taken the ACTs? You know?
Yeah, thank
he's like,
you.
No, he just gets soft right away. What if it, I wish it had been like, what did you get on the SATs? Trick question, my jizz. And he pulls out your SATs and goes, trick question, my jizz. Just, you can all take that.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Weekend of Bernie's was just, I was 19. I, again, have always had my shit together, so I was the only person in my friend group who had a fake ID. So I passed out due to aforementioned fake ID, and they ran out of booze, and so they were like, well, Tess has a fake ID. So they weekend at Bernie's me.
Oh,
and they,
no.
They put one of my arms over each of them, and they dragged me down to the liquor store.
That is incredible.
They like a Jim Henson with a Muppet, like trying to make it seem like I was actually
oh no
taking my ID out. Yeah.
And they said no, right?
They said no. Yeah. And of course from what I hear.
Yeah. That's
did
amazing.
They try to move your mouth?
I don't know.
Wait, were you wearing sunglasses and a mustache? Were they just like,
you gotta have sunglasses. Come on.
What they should have done is they should have played a fucking song and then you would have just like walked to the liquor store on your own.
The Bernie.
That's true.
They should have weakened a Bernie's too, do you?
That's true. And like if they had just played any pop song, like my eyes probably just would have popped open and I would have come too. Like they obviously didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't know. Yeah.
Tess Barker, everybody. Wow.
I mean, the moral of that story is just like, everyone get a fucking fake ID. Don't be a dick. You know?
Well, I didn't drink until I was 21 years old, so I didn't need one.
But what if you wanted to get a tattoo?
Oh my God. Fuck.
Yeah.
I got a fake ID to see Bob Saget in Vegas.
You did?
Yeah.
Wait, well, I don't think we've ever.
No.
You've both gotten fake IDs to go to Vegas before.
Yeah.
Tess as an adult, but.
Yeah.
That's true. Wow.
Yeah, so, okay. So,
but you said Brandy Posey.
Yeah. Mine had my real name on everything.
Where did you get it?
So, in Philly.
Was there like, is there like a street in Philly where you go get them?
Oh my God, we're going to Philly tomorrow. I should try to go get a fake ID. I'm the only one who hasn't gotten one.
I think we have to do it tomorrow in Philly.
Yeah,
Let's do it. Because it's honestly hilarious being a grown-ass woman getting a fake ID because they don't have a lot of questions, but they also don't have a lot of answers. Like, they don't.
Yeah. They're like, oh, okay. Do you want like a passport? You know, just an ID.
Yeah.
No, I was like 20 and I moved out to LA for 6 months. So I got a fake ID just to in Philly. And just to have it, because I was like, I don't know what I'll need in LA. I want to go to comedy shows. I'm going to be able to get in stuff. And so, okay, this actually starts when I was in third grade. So when I was in third grade, I went to a car show, and John Stamos was at the car show. And you guys know that story, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So I was at the car show. John Stamos was at the car show. I was on stage with John Stamos, and I wouldn't leave the stage. And he reached down, and he just, like, patted my butt to, like, make me leave the stage. So when I was 8 years old, John Stamos touched my ass. No big deal. And my life has never been the same. Yeah. Somebody is like, oh, my God. In the audience.
Well, you think in a good way. I think that was a blessed moment.
I mean, it's weird that he touched my butt as a child. Yeah. But it was like a... It was like
especially
a,
because...
It was an uncle pat. I think he
was. Yeah, it was an uncle pat.
Uncle
Jesse. Yeah, get off the stage. Get off the stage, kid. Get okay. Because I was like, I wore my I had like a red, white, and blue sweatsuit that I wore to meet him. Because it was my best sweatsuit in sure. third
what?
Grade. Yeah, it was like a red, white, and blue. It was.
Did you have a crush on John Stamos as a kid?
I felt like socially I should have. So, because right. I was too young to have a crush like on right. like a man.
Because I remember like ladies having crushes on John Stamos. But yeah, I liked Joey from New Kids on the Block because he was the closest to my age.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
John Stamos just seemed like old.
I think yeah. like an uncle crush. Like he was just yeah. like, you're generally appealing and you have cool hair. Well, and you like Elvis.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's
an
Elvis. He's John Stamos is obviously extremely hot.
Still
we
so
all know
hot.
That.
Whoa, lots
yeah,
yeah. of
so hot.
It's a very yeah, strong yeah. reaction so from
what
the crowd.
What a beautiful man. Yeah.
Anyway, I've been to a second base with him as a child. So no big deal. So anyway, that happened. And I remember finding the photo in middle school. And when you're like a shitty teen, and I came up with this quest where I've just like very casually been trying to get the other two Full House dads to also touch my butt in this lifetime. And the first week that I moved to L.A., during college, I moved out to L.A. for 6 months for, like, an internship thing. And the first week that I moved there in L.A. Weekly, Bob Saget was playing in Las Vegas that weekend. And my friend Ann was out there. And I was like, we're going to Vegas! We're going to get Bob Saget this weekend. So we drove to Vegas with fake IDs. And we, like, it was the, where's the House of Blues in Vegas? Whatever, the Mandalay Bay. That casino. We got there, we parked, we scouted the outside of the entire casino to be like, where would he enter, where would he exit? How would this work?
By like, helicopter, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm not new. I know how this works. I've met a couple of bands in
he
my
comes
life.
Through the Shark Tank
yeah, exactly.
into the casino.
By the way, we all now know that all you'd have to do to get Bob Saget to touch your butt would be DM him.
Yes.
Right? Like that's
this is a pre-Twitter existence. You had to get creative.
Pre-DMs. Yeah. I can't.
So we watched our show. The show. The opener was a little unknown guy named BJ Novak. It was before The Office. Mm. I was like, oh, okay. It's funny. That's fun. So afterwards, there were like two exits from the House of Blues. And I was like, he's definitely coming out on either one of these. And the one that we chose was like, there weren't a lot of people. There was us. And then there was like a woman in her 40s that had like a stack of Bob Saget headshots. And we were like, well, she knows.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. So he.
Those fucking headshot people.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo.
Real, real intense. So yeah. He walks out, sees her, and he's like, oh, that bitch is crazy. Looks at two 20-year-old women. I was like, hey, ladies, you want to meet me? And I was like, hi, when I was in third grade, your friend John Stamos touched my ass. Could you also touch my ass? Because I think if I get you and Joey Gladstone, we might save the world.
He's like, fuck, why didn't I go to the headshot lady?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he to his credit, without missing a beat, he's like, yeah, sure, turn around, let's do this. So I have a picture of Bob Saget just touching my butt.
Yeah.
Which makes Dave Coulier my white whale.
Yes. How often do you think about how You Ought to Know is about Dave Coulier?
Oh, probably at least once a week.
Me too.
Often. Yeah,
absolutely.
I used to be a karaoke host, and every time somebody would sing it, yeah. Were a karaoke host in the crowd? Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When, every time I hear that song, and nobody has sang You Oughta Know without bringing it. And
That's right. You
yeah,
have
yeah.
to. Yeah,
you
if you're going to go
it.
There, go there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I always liked the idea of being like, everybody is singing this song about Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
I've definitely drunkenly sang that song and only said Dave Coulier instead of the lyrics before.
Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier. It's really yeah. fun. And you're Dave Coulier, and you're Dave Coulier, and you're Dave Coulier, because you're Dave Coulier. Dave Coulier.
And you're not.
Yeah, it's really, it's a fun time.
Oh, man.
That's I mean, and also awesome. It's just like, it's really changed my, because like Dave Coulier is the kind of guy who gets blowjobs in a theater.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
who knew?
It
out.
It's a, did someone say, what? Okay.
Yeah. That's so much better.
Let's die. Let's die. Shall we die?
Yeah, I was about to do it too, and then you started. And
I'm so
like,
sorry.
Barbara can do this one.
Yeah. Good. karaoke party, which I hate karaoke unless I'm drunk, you know, but because I can only really do, I can do Friends in Low Places because I don't have a good voice.
Yeah. Well, that song is like, honestly, it's the karaoke pleaser that everyone forgets about because everybody loves that Garth Brooks song. Like, it can be like the biggest hipsters in the world. Like, everybody is like, I do have Friends in Low Places.
Exactly.
Am I the only person who has no clue that that's a Garth Brooks song every time?
No, nobody knows it's Garth Brooks.
Okay.
What?
No, well, people, people that aren't
country
fans. It
feels like Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, it does.
What? How dare you?
I have no concept of Garth. I'm so sorry.
I have no concept
I'm
of
sorry.
Garth.
I'm sorry.
Guess who's getting a mix CD when we come home?
That was a threat.
Barbara, you're basic. You need to know about Garth Brooks. You'll love him.
I like the only other person incensed to the crowd is Tessa's sister.
Yeah.
Also loves
my sister, shout out to my sister. You better bet your ass. We went to a Garth Brooks concert in Fresno and we were like the hot. I've never felt like such hot shit in my life. We were basically Jenners.
And this was 3 years ago, mind you. Yeah. Not like.
No, as grown adults, we got a hotel room. We had floor seats.
Oh my god!
It's like one of the happy. We were very happy. We were very happy, and no,
I'm sure he's a great showman.
Yeah, he's Garth Brooks. I mean, come on.
I was giving him a compliment.
Okay. we've all missed one. We've all missed a thing.
He's got his little this.
This is big.
Wait.
My dog's name is Garth.
Wait, after Garth Brooks?
Yes!
Oh, I thought it was Wayne's
Come
World.
On.
I mean, it kind of works both ways.
Okay, what's a bigger Garth to everybody? Brooks or Wayne's World? Brooks?
Brooks, let's hear it for Brooks.
Nah, see, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World? Fucking Loneliness. Schwing. Yeah, we did it.
I know, exactly.
Are there other famous Garths? That's the only two famous Garths, right?
Garth Trinidad from NPR.
From NPR.
NPR.
Mm-hmm. Runs the gamut.
That name starts one way and ends another.
Speaking of NPR, my sister and I also realized we saw a band called Pink Martini, which is like this world music band, and Ari Shapiro from NPR was there. And yeah, if you guys aren't familiar, he's at least as hot as John Stamos. Yeah,
that's how you know our fan base is in their 30s because you said Ari Shapiro and everyone's like,
ooh,
yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Like, you guys are gonna go home and like YouTube Ari Shapiro singing and like, you're welcome.
Oh,
male
God.
Or female, you will be coming.
This is why I wish we had Rumble seats for these shows so we could press a button when we say Ari Shapiro and everyone goes, ugh.
Ari Shapiro.
I was talking to Corey before this. He said he had been here before, and he said that the band that he's seen here was Marcy Playground. So, if you guys sell smex, oh my god, dyslexia, Sex and Candy, that wasn't us. That's that was Marcy Playground 7 years ago.
Wait, I just realized this is on the stage.
Yeah.
My god.
Meant to be.
Oh my god. There's a.
She smelled Sex and Candy. She's not happy
like
about
it.
She
did not like it. There's this amazing for the listener. There's like this amazing portrait of a pioneer on the stage, or a queen, the queen pioneer.
I'd say she's Bad Grandma, the sequel to.
Yeah.
Bad Grandma.
She looks pissed.
She does look like Robin Williams.
Yeah.
We made everyone sad.
Yeah. No. She does look like Robin. That's Madame Doubtfire.
Yeah, it really is.
That's one of the cutout characters from Mrs. Doubtfire. We didn't see him change into.
Dude, if you guys ever get the chance, the Mrs. Doubtfire DVD on the extras.
Oh my god, there's
the
freaky
makeup
shit in
tests
there.
For Mrs. Doubtfire. They're not shot very well, and they're terrifying.
They're really bad. They're really bad lighting, and it's a whole ride.
And it's him talking in his like man voice, but like as Mrs. Doubtfire, and like bad lighting, and nothing's really glued down. It just looks like he's wearing the skin of an old woman.
Don't watch it on shrooms or anything like that.
No, no, no.
Yeah, we know because we used those outtakes a sketch that bombed really badly. And we had to, we wrote a sketch where we interacted with Mrs. Doubtfire through Skype.
And it felt, I don't know if it was 10 minutes long, but it felt 10 minutes long. And we started bombing like 10 seconds in.
And we had to, we had to experience it just,
Then at the end of the sketch, like we all pretended to die at the end. So we bombed and then we died and then we died.
We just laid on the stage while no one laughed.
And then to like a very light smattering of applause, we helped ourselves off the floor.
Walked off.
Oh. Yep, that's what I think about every time I think about that too.
Yeah. And look at us now. We're...
Woo! I think we should do... Let's see.
Should we do one? One would you rather?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we want to do... So we're going to do some would you rathers, and also we didn't say it, but we want to do lady problems later if you have one to come up and say to us. It can be simple, complicated, whatever. You guys have heard.
You don't have to be lady.
It can be silly. It can be, a fella or anybody on the spectrum, feel free. It's just that's just the name of the segment, but anybody can come up.
Yeah.
So while you're thinking about that, does anyone have a would you rather that you want to say?
I was thinking maybe we should say, like, what's your most New York experience as far as living here? So we could get two of those.
Oh,
if somebody could tell us what's, like, the most harrowing moment that's happened to you.
Okay, here we go.
Can you say it in that microphone? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was crossing the street by Astor Place, and I slipped on a dead rat. I just went into the CVS and got a bottle of Purell and squeezed it on the sidewalk and just like rubbed the bottom of my shoe in Purell over and over, like, ew, 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 you can't chop off your foot. Just keep living your life like this.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Y'all
but I stayed.
Wow.
You stayed, but you stayed. I mean, that's the power of New York. Wow.
I'm going to choose whatever the other one is.
I think we, but thank you.
Yeah, wow. Thank you for sharing. Perfect. Thank you for surviving.
Woo. Yeah. Okay, one. I don't think, and no one's going to say anything.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. We got another.
Come on up and tell us. Yeah. Let's get the other one. Oh, God damn.
I think the potential rival of that would be living with a stripper, an Uber driver, two coke dealers, and a guy who did so much acid that he locked my cat in a closet.
Oh!
Wait, let's count here.
Wait, how long
Uber
did you
driver, coke,
two
how
Uber
many
drivers?
Is that?
Two coke dealers and a guy who did so much acid that he locked my cat in a closet.
Oh, Jesus. Did they make rent on time?
I don't know. It was an individual film.
Oh.
It was an individual film.
Was it how many bathrooms?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Huge question.
One.
Consistently, there was a pile of shit.
Oh, no.
I mean, hey, those coke shits can be pretty rough. Am I right?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
All right, you're getting a lot of people coming over there and buying it and then taking a dump. Yeah. You're going to have some issues. Okay, so let's survey the audience, shall we?
Who chooses?
Even though all of you have experienced one or the other of these.
Yeah. Who chooses dead rat slipping? A lot of people. Yeah.
Also the name of my one-woman show, Dead Rat Slipping.
Who chooses coke dealer, one bathroom, shit on the floor?
Wow, that's how...
Holy
I mean, to be
shit.
Fair, to be fair, the roommate situation is a constant.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The dead rat one. Yeah, exactly.
Wait,
yeah.
I feel like it's a constant for her. Like,
I feel like, wait, you know? I have a question. How many people in this room have slipped on a dead rat?
Okay, just one.
Okay, I didn't know if there were like.
And this isn't
Tuesday,
like a silly
bitch.
Like banana like whoop 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 moment.
Yeah,
that's not like a Three Stooges. Okay,
and also you really got me with the word slipped.
Yeah,
like it's just so physical and visceral.
Yeah. Oh man.
Ghost like phantom feeling of it in my foot.
See?
Oh, absolutely. You would. You have legitimate PTSD. That's. You should be given at least four.
PTRD. Yeah.
You should be given at least four free therapy sessions for slipping on a rat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the healthcare I would like to see in this country. God damn. Did anybody watch? Did anybody see it happen?
No, nobody saw me.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, because there's nothing like a fall that also involves many strangers seeing it happen. I mean, the rat almost did, but it was dead already.
Yeah. I'm just really floored by that. She literally went...
Wow. Damn. Okay.
Because also, I feel like... to the Coke people's credit, I feel like the dishes would be done.
You think?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I will say, I would also choose the rat because I did live with a cruise ship improviser, so I kind of understand where
you're
coming
from. That's like all of those people in one.
Absolutely.
If you come home and they're playing ukulele in the dark by themselves,
which is what
you happens. Might be a dead rat. No, I don't know. That's
a name. Get her done.
What if we just turn into blue collar comedy tour?
Please. Hey, I gotta say, the fucking you might be a redneck joke structure, very important to
it's American sound. It's
American
sound
culture.
Joke structure.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the rat, it's like you get it over with quickly, but it's so much more intense.
I know. I think I'm like feeling one on my feet right now.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, we all are. We're all getting that.
An alive rat walk over my foot, and it haunts my dreams. So.
And you love animals. Where do rats fall on the spectrum here?
I don't hate them as much as most people.
I really like them. I also like clean pet rats.
Yeah, I like a clean
I
pet
follow
rat.
A very cute rat on Instagram.
Oh, okay, what's his name?
These are New York rats.
It's like I don't know, Gerald. I don't know his name. Something like that.
I mean, yeah, as you guys know, I'm more afraid of pigeons than rats.
Yeah.
Right? Thank you.
Very understanding murmurs.
People. Wait, I really, which one do you guys, are you feel like is more of a pest upon your city? A clap for rats?
Team rat.
Okay. Team rat is more, well, obviously. Okay.
Clap for pigeons. Or for against pigeons.
Yeah, it's rat.
Okay, it's rat.
We've all seen that video of the rats sliding down the pole in the subway.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Well, you know I love Pizza Rat.
Yeah.
It's an underdog story.
How would you feel about Pizza Pigeon?
I was in Italy recently, and like, you know, I feel like you should be more accepting of pigeons in Italy for some reason, and it's the only thing.
Because they've been blessed by the Pope
or something. You know, they just feel more like organic there, but it's like the only thing I don't like about Italy. It's just
they're more organic.
I don't know. They just feel like more like they belong here.
I think maybe because it's so open, like the plazas and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not just like two tall like buildings and they're like,
exactly. Coming,
dive bombing you or something.
Wait, exactly.
In Italy, do they fly like this?
No, like regular pigeons.
Because they're Italian. You
get
know?
Out of here.
I'm a quarter
and I
Italian,
feel like actually in Italy, they're more out for blood, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I had a couple pretty big scares where I had to basically get a piggyback ride from Sean. Like,
there's nothing worse than being attacked by someone with wings.
Exactly.
While you're the only one being attacked. I don't know why, but every time I, like...
And the only one without wings.
Besides the other humans, but yes. But there's like various times where I'll be in a public area and be the only one where a bee is just doing this, and I'm like, and I'm by myself, and everyone has to watch it happen.
Because it feels like you're like, if this bee, then maybe all the bees. The animals?
Oh, yeah, they're all together.
Are they all about to turn on me? Is birds about to happen with bees?
When I was in Austin, I finally went to fucking Torgy's Tacos because everyone said I should go there.
Yeah.
And yes, thank you. And I got a squirt, like, to drink, and very sugary drink, right? You know, they're going to go right for it. A fucking bee starts going for me, and it's going for my squirt, not my cum, but my squirt. And... It like fucking finally settles into the squirt and goes in there and starts to drown. I saved it like a good person.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then another one did the same thing.
I would have watched that motherfucker die.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, actually, you guys can all use this. Bees are like dogs. You just got to be chill. Just be you.
It was attacking me.
Well, exactly. You just got to be the alpha.
No, never.
Well, fine, then have fun saving bees from your squirts.
Oh, God. Yeah. I will.
I've never been stung by a bee.
Neither have I.
Yeah. You just got to hang out.
I have been once. It appeared on my knee and then stung me, and I had nothing to do with it.
A bee flew into my mouth when I was running the mile in fifth grade.
Whoa.
And I chomped down, and then I went, no, and I spit it out. I think it's the moment I became a comedian.
That's the most calm trauma comedian their origin story.
Well, it was a thing where nobody saw it happen, and then everyone in my class was like, a bee didn't fly in your mouth, and I was like, a bee flew in my mouth. And nobody believes me. Now I'm saying it into a microphone for thousands.
You're reminding me that I actually ate some gnats this morning.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was on a run in Prospect Park.
That's what you get for going on a run. Yeah. Both of you, running,
yeah.
See?
Yeah. See?
See,
that's why you don't run.
That's why I started just walking the mile after that. Every year after that, I was like, now I walk. I walk the mile now.
You walk away, you put a big net in your mouth?
Yeah. Yes.
Just walked with one of those like strainers in front of my face.
Okay, we have to decide this, and then we have to do a lady problem.
Okay.
Rat or Coke roommates?
I go rat.
I go rat too.
I'm gonna rip.
I'm sorry, but it's one. It's over.
Yeah. I know. I think I'm gonna go roommates. I do think I'm gonna go roommates because I could just get like really into audiobooks for a couple months. And
yeah,
I'm gonna go roommates because I could forget some cokeheads, and I have in my life forgotten some cokeheads, and I don't think I could forget that rat.
Thank you for relaying your trauma to us,
both
by
of
the
you
way.
Guys. Thank you
for the sake of the show.
Yeah,
New Yorkers are hard, man. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Okay, Leah, we got a little bit left. Let's do, I think someone raised their hand if they want to come up and do a lady problem.
Do a lady problem.
I saw you. I saw some jostling of friends here. I saw some elbowing.
It's okay. Okay.
Maybe not.
Okay.
All right. Usually at our live shows, I just don't want to shame you guys, but like usually we have multiple ones.
Wait, we have one in the back.
Oh,
one
there
the back.
We go.
Come on up.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, come on up.
I like that we've done this like weird town hall style with the fucking mic in the middle of it. Come on and tell us how our budget of the city can't solve your problems.
Yeah. We stand or sit.
You can just grab
the microphone.
You can take the mic out.
Yeah.
Hey.
We can't help with the L train. I'm sorry.
Oh, my lady problem.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. Hi. What's your name?
My name's Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Hi.
Give it up for Christina.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited to tell you my lady problem. I've been listening forever. I used to live in Eagle Rock, and I started listening once I moved away, so it's just a piece of home. And so part of why I love the show is your ladies in comedy going for it, and that's what my lady problem might be. I moved to the city. I have an earth science background. It was to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so I went through the program, and I'm in my first year of teaching now, and I don't love it.
Yeah.
And I feel like the students deserve someone who does. Mm-hmm. It is. Thank you. Yeah. It sucks.
I guess that wraps up.
We'll
see. Do you think it might be like a grade issue, like the age of the kids, or?
I don't think that's the issue. I just like don't have it.
And you've been doing it for how long? Sorry.
This is my first year.
First year.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also have a performance background. I've been in improv. And I'll just make fun of improv sometimes. I love it.
Oh, yeah. We also love improv. Yeah.
We have lots of friends who do it.
That's how I started comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. As a stand-up comedian, you have to draw the lines, though.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. And sketch and science communication, mm-hmm. and these things. And so I want to perform, and I want to know what first steps are. Also, I am super freshly broken up with, and I'm like, do I stick with the stable thing, or do I burn it all to the ground at once?
I love this.
I wonder what my answer will be.
What is it about teaching that you don't like? Is it like the red tape, the bureaucratic side of things?
Yes.
Cool.
The bureaucratic side of things, and like no matter how cool my ideas are, how creative I am, and how much I want to try. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for listening to my whole life story right now.
I just realized how many people can hear me.
No, it's awesome. Usually when
it's
going to
be more than this.
I know. Yeah. It's cool because usually it's an email. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's nice to like do it face to face.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's also just like no matter how cool I think it is and things I want to try, it's just like, can I talk into a wall? Like,
yeah.
The high school kids are awesome to an extent, and they just mostly want to be asleep or scream at each other.
Right.
Well, as a former high school student, I remember being
that. Sounds about right.
Well, it's a lot like stand-up audiences. So.
Yeah, especially for the first few years.
I mean, okay, so how much, like, is it something you feel like you could tolerate for another year or two, or are you like, you got to get out?
I feel like I've spent so much time feeling, like, okay about where I've moved and the choices I've made and the whatever. I'm like, why I spend more time feeling like okay about it.
Right.
Well,
and have you ever, like, what was your job before teaching?
I've been a grad student forever.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Got it. So there's like, you're in a period of transition a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I will say we know a lot of comedians that are teachers that use the stage like after work to like burn off some fucking steam for sure. A lot of them use different names. Well, yeah. So like there's, it could be an element of you needing like a release valve, maybe just like to deal with your like the frustrations of the job currently. Because here's the thing, you're not going to make money anytime soon in comedy, unfortunately. I mean, we've all been doing it for over a decade, and we're just starting to pay bills with it and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, other jobs will come for sure. Like, if do you like with like working with the students specifically?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like she really wants to quit teaching.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, then get out.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, because I was going to be like, if you kind of like it, yeah, because there's going to be a couple years. I mean, improv and stand-up are kind of similar in that, like, I definitely think this goes without saying, you should sign up for some kind of a class or something.
Yeah, I have been.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Cool, so you're doing that. But yeah, I kind of feel like you're in this, like, Phoenix mode. Like, you broke up with dude. Like, you're just like, just go for it. Just go whole hog. Fuck it. Like, the thing about money is you can always find more. You know, like, get a waitress.
I love the way that you think.
But yeah, I mean, as long as, I mean, like, I would say, like, day jobs are important and great, but if it's sucking away your soul, then it's not a good day job. Like, do something that you can do to pay the bills that isn't gonna, like, also have this psychological tax on you, because I feel like that starts to siphon your creativity. So, like, I feel like find something, and, like, could you stomach tutoring? Do you like tutoring at all?
Sure, I could do.
Get like a couple tutoring clients and just find something that like you can deal with so that you can focus all your energy on this new like improv life. Mm-hmm. And you clearly, like, it's so obvious to me that you want to quit your job.
I do.
Yeah.
I just kind of needed like the lady stamp of approval on the Phoenix mode.
Yeah, you gotta quit your job.
You said you teach earth science.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, all those kids are about to die, so it's fine.
Yeah.
They don't need you.
Yeah.
And I mean, in general, I don't know if you agree with this, but it does feel like, you know, things are going badly, so you might as well do what the fuck you want now, because who gives a shit at this point? Like, you should go for it, definitely. I mean, it's really scary, of course, but anything you love is going to be scary. And so you want to do improv specifically?
And I've done some sketch and science communication, too, because I do have that science background, so I've done like talks on climate science and that.
That's
kind of
awesome.
Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any way to combine all that too, I mean, I'm sure they need like funny, interesting people to like educate, you know, in some way. I don't know if you could go to colleges and like do that kind of thing, present that to people, but there's definitely a way to meld those things. But I will say, like, there is nothing like the first few years of throwing yourself into comedy, especially when you're out of a breakup, especially whatever. It is like the best time I've ever had in my whole fucking life, you know. You should experience it. You deserve to experience it for sure. And you should just go for it, because it really is, you'll love it so much, and you'll just like, if you throw yourself in, you're not going to regret it, I don't think.
Yeah, and I just feel like you're in that mode right now.
Like, you seem like it.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're hearing what you wanted to hear.
You're right. I didn't have like a sexy lady problem, but I just,
it's hard. It's hard. But yeah, it is, you know, fortunately day jobs are like
a
necessity most of the time. So I would figure out something that's like, yeah, not too soul crushing or like takes away all of your being or whatever. And that can be very hard to find, I know, here especially too. But you can figure it out. I mean, if it's that bad, like if you're waking up every single day and being like, fuck this, it's not worth it.
And like, you're not getting paid for those fuck this hours. So, like, that's, like, another thing that nobody budgets. Is like, when you hate your job that much, there's all these, like, unpaid hours of you just being bitter about it. So, like, I think that's something to take into account.
So, if you could start charging them for those, first of all.
Yeah. Quit and then send them a bill.
That'd be so great to send an invoice for, like, the time I spent hating you. Emotional labor, please. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, if you know about science, I wonder if there's any, like, science writing you could do. Like, that might be something that would combine me.
We're like, yeah, science writing. That's,
you know,
that's,
anyone need a science writer?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well, even like, I mean, like, I'm sure you have a museum. Like, you could be a docent or something. Mm-hmm. Like, or like, you know, with a science background, I'm sure there's a planetarium or something nearby. Talk.
Yeah, we got any, like, science people out here?
I don't know your museums.
Yeah, but yeah, quit your job, go in hard into comedy, and just like, you only, my thing is like, everything is hard, so do the hard thing that you're excited about.
Go in there, flip all the desks, say fuck you, and then
reverse Dead Poets Society.
Yes, exactly, please. Reverse Dead Poets Society,
but carpe fucking diem.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you, Christina.
I think that's it. You guys have been so fucking awesome. Give it up for yourselves. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Really fun. Our first time here. This is fucking great.
Yeah, we're gonna be chilling over there. We got a couple of sets of candles you brought with us. We've also got some tour posters for this that are really awesome. Our friend Ivy McNally did them, and it's us from doing a Two Wong Fu Thanks for Everything photo. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and thank you so much. We'll see you guys out there.
Bye. Come say hi. Hey.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.